Everything you just mentioned, our all plays affected, but it always starts off with the win. So it's cooling the audit out, then the win plays shoot.
All this winter, what sort of wins am I going to get excited about?
First day on North East. Don't go fishing.
There you go, buddy.
You're listening to The Deep Dive. I'm Vanessa Green. Each week, we explore the world of South African fishing together, sharing expert advice, different ways to cast and catch, and the latest buzz from the water. Let's get into it.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's Angler News Podcast, and we are talking wins with Mr. Dave Irvin. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into it, we know wins are extremely important when it comes to fishing, and it affects a lot. We know there's a lot of elements involved. Wins is one of the most important ones. And Dave, you had a conversation with me a while back where I was blown away, right, with what you told me. I don't know, there was so much that goes into it. I knew the basics, you knew the details, so that's why we got you on. Now, before we get on with the show, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I've been fishing most of my life. Now, at the moment, I'm doing a lot of bass fishing, but I rock and surf fished for 30-odd years. Lee, you know, where I fished Lee competitively. I fished in one of the top clubs in KZN. I learned a huge amount from really top anglers. And yeah, I loved every minute of it. You know, we virtually traveled the whole of KZN fishing all over the place, Transkei to Cozy to everywhere. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. That's the whole setup. Yeah.
Okay. So how essential was wins in your fishing? I mean, was it the first thing you looked at? Was it one of the last things you looked at when you were planning a competition weekend? Right. Were you looking at the time of year, the tides, the barometric pressure? Or was it the first thing, what wind are we fishing in?
The thing is, it all plays. So everything you just mentioned, that all plays affected. But it always starts off with the wind. Because the wind will tell you, if the wind's blowing northeast, you know the barometer's actually dropping. If the wind's blowing southwest, you know the barometer's picking up. If the wind is blowing west, southwest, and the barometer's picking up, you know that the water's cleaning up and it's warming up. So if it's blowing northeast, you know that the water is going to get some color in it. Because of upwelling, and the water's going to cool down. So it all plays, you know. So the first thing you need to do when you're fishing, you know, comparatively, and you've got a rod coming up, is have a very good app that you can see what the winds are actually going to do, because that, and it can tell you what the barometer will be, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the wind plays huge.
All right. So tell me, why do anglers always talk about either the northeasterlies coming for a couple of days, or we're going to fish into the southwest or whatever it is?
Because we're on the coast. Okay, so basically on the coast, what happens is our predominant wind is effectively our northeast. So that because, yeah, so that's the way the northwesterly blows, it holds off the northeast. The northeast is going to blow,
yeah,
but the northwesterly will hold that off. But then what you put, it's also known as an land breeze.
Okay,
so that plays as well. So we get all of it, but your predominant wind, hills of fishing, is that a northeasterly?
Yeah.
That's been, look, competitive fishing, we were always talking about that.
Yeah,
it's big sand sharks, diamonds, sharks, whatever.
Yeah,
so the result is that easterly is what we were looking for. You know, but then again, that wind can play in terms of everything, as well as picking the sea up if it blows too hard. Then the sea can get big.
So that's we're just purely talking north, right? Not northeasterlies.
Yeah, look, now you can get, if you have a big cold front come through, and then that you have a screaming 40 knots southwest. You know, now what happens is, you must remember, our current runs from north to south, which is the most big current.
Yes.
So if you get a big westerly blowing against that current, that just picks the sea up to giant size.
Oh,
that is why you get a big sea.
Now, you are mainly talking on our east coast, or is it the same on the west coast?
You know, if you, for example, if you're in Cape Town, the southeasterly there, that's exactly what our northeasterly does. Oh, that's what they call it. And down there, they call it the Cape Doctor or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that does the same thing. But it's because of, if you take the shape of the land.
Yeah.
So what a northeasterly is doing here, so when you go around there, that north, that's now a southeasterly is doing the same thing.
Okay. So let's go back to just focusing on the northeasterly. What is that going to do to our water? Is it going to make it cleaner, dirtier? Is it going to make it warmer, colder? Let's just own in on that northeasterlies and tell us all that we need to know about a northeasterly wind.
Okay. Then let's say, for example, we've just come off, we had a west come through. It was a little little frontal system or whatever it was. It swung to a southeast and it's now starting to blow northeast. Okay, so that first day when it starts to blow, the first day on northeast, don't go fishing.
Why?
Okay, it is, you're not going to catch anything. You're going to have to buzz it, put it that way. You know, because obviously you can get low pressure and high pressure that can change the more. Okay? But if you look at the more, 90% of the time, it'll go from a southwesterly to a south to a southeast and then swing to a northeast. So at that southeast, once it swings to northeast, that's the highest barometer that you're going to get.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not when fish are eating. They prefer, so they'll actually start eating where the barometer bottoms are.
Yeah.
Okay. So when that, so that first day of an east, is that east has got to blow to get the conditions that we need to catch fish.
Right.
So the first day needs that first day. You know? So the good fish on that first day, not going to be, it's like fish, you might as well be fishing in that southeast.
You're on it. Oh, okay. I get you.
Right. So your second day of a northeast.
Yeah.
Now you start paying attention. That's, you can go fish because you've especially, so what you want is you actually, when it swings to a northeast, you want it to blow hot. You want it to blow hot because it,
well, is it hard? Like what?
20 knots, 25 knots, no, 40 knots. That's my, as a sea.
Oh, okay.
So what you want to do is you want to have it at say, you know, 15 to 25. It's going to do what northeasterly does.
Right.
And that is, so why we want the northeast? I mean, that I think is the question you really ask. Why do we want the northeast? We want the northeast is because it effectively causes upwelling.
Mm.
Okay. So when that upwelling is taking, it's literally the cooler oceanic water at the bottom. Okay. And bringing it to the top and that blows inshore. So what happens is it's cooling your water down as well as giving itself cover.
Okay.
So right. In other words, because of all that upwelling,
yes,
you're getting, and in reality, you're getting nutrients coming from the bottom. That's what the fish, your bait fish start to feed on, or the bigger fish come.
Yeah.
Because you've had all of these nutrients come from cool, you know, high in everything the fish need, basically.
Mm.
And that, so it's cooling the water down and it's giving us the, you know, a much better count.
Right.
The problem we had on our coastline is that we have clean water. When you get into the Eastern Cape, their water's pretty much what kind of all.
Yeah,
all the time. So as old as it's easier to catch fish. Hence, most of the nationals are held out simply because they have better conditions. We fish a hell of a lot at night, and we fish at night. We catch a lot of fish at night because we
have clean water.
Yes. So when the northeast is blow, it's going to give some sort of color, you know. And then obviously it's where there's been upwelling, and then obviously if there's certain spots depending on the way the coastline actually goes.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll find spots like, you know, there's certain spots that are going to be very good for sandies, you know, when that east is blowing, second day, third day, east is good. But then you get another problem, is that I've seen this happen, where the east blows for 6, 7, 8, 9 days. The result is it actually cools down so much that the water gets so cold that you end up getting too cold to go.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah. But it doesn't happen often. But the east can blow for a long time. And generally speaking, it's 3, 4 days, 5 days, and then it'll always.
So, Dave, fishing the summer months, northeasterly, what would we target?
Okay, so for me, my thing was as I said, socially, if I wasn't fishing tortoises, I'd be fishing for sand sharks. Now the sand sharks, you start to effectively target them in November. Okay, now remember, November, December is full summer, so November is your good spring,
right?
Okay,
mm.
So especially further up north. The sandies start, they can start operating. The Tugela area, the sandies are operating in November. So then again, we want the east. No, so we want those easterlies from even before, because easterlies always good. And even in the winter, it's good. But it's really good from November. So November, December, Jan, Feb, that's all your big fat fish, your honeycombs, your big sandies, all that, right through to
majority of those non-head species.
Majority of the non-head species. And that includes all the sharks and whereas, except grey sharks. Grey sharks can be depending on.
No, sure. Yeah.
Depending on, as I say, at the end of the day, you want northeasties. Northeasties are what bring those big fish.
Hypothetically, we are not the competitive angler. We're the weekend act. Is this when we start looking more forward towards the southwesterlies? Or are we still looking for northeasterlies? Are the edibles coming through as we can angle with the northeasterlies?
Yeah, I speak certainly in the summer, dude.
Are we looking for fish that mainly feed in more of the dirtier water? I mean, well, the brownish colored kind of water.
Well, you see, that's the thing with, so for example, a stumpy will feed on banks.
Okay, yeah. Unless he will also feed on rocks.
Yeah,
but he will feed on banks.
Yeah, so again,
he's more. If you're catching sand sharks, you can catch a you can get a sand. So that's the thing. But if you're reef fishing, so if you're fishing off rocks, if you go to a place like
Bolito,
yeah, so you know, there, as I say, you could. Again, you must remember that the first hour west is very good because, again, you're coming off a low barometer.
Yeah.
Okay? The water's cooled down, and the first hour west is starting to cool the water. It's starting to warm up the water, sorry. So when that water starts to warm up, you get you a lot of the animals that will start to feed. I prefer first day west, okay, and then a first day east. First day west, yeah, absolutely a night at the gray shark.
Okay.
Because, again, the gray sharks, to me, and this is my opinion, the gray sharks feed on water temperature. So, Jeff, people will say, well, you need to, a lot of competitive areas will actually say, oh, you catch gray sharks in the west. Well, I have absolutely annihilated them in the northeast. But it depends when that northeast brings that water temperature to that correct point.
Yeah.
And they feed like it's out of control.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens on the west. So when the west blows through and it warms the water to where those, and generally quite quickly, I've actually watched the west come and I was testing for a tournament. And we weren't getting any bite. This was actually at Salt Rock Pool. And I had a bait in and I watched this west coming through. We knew it was coming. That's why we were testing just before it came through. And as it was coming, the wind literally hit us.
Yeah, there were two of us fishing. We both went tight with crash.
As soon as the wind came today, almost come with the west. I mean, it's just
wild.
Yeah, it happens like that. Not always, but that's what happens. And it's, so when that west blows, the first day of the west can be very productive, even for Sandy.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, it hasn't changed the conditions yet. Hasn't warmed the water up yet. Hasn't cleaned it up completely yet.
Oh, okay.
The first day. By the second day, then your barometer is a guy that's climbing.
Let's round off the northeast of these with the species we're going to get. We know what it does with the water. We know we had a lot of non-edible species. But on your edible side, off from the stump is
bonefish.
Okay.
You know, you should be catching bonefish.
Yeah. Would you target anything on your rock species side, like your rocker, then your, no, those scratching species, bronze bream, that kind of
thing? Look, when we were fishing tournaments and we had to catch fish with rodders or whatever the one was doing, 9 out of 10 times when the wind is terrible, it's normally a west. You know, so we caught many, many rock species on the northeast.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Because a lot of those fish, you know, like your rock cod, they're residents. They're going to be on those reefs all the time.
And yeah, they live.
Yeah.
So they get, if you throw in the right place, you go catch it. Where the wind's going to play more of a role is whether it's a low or high barometer. So if the northeast is being blown and that barometer's low, all fish are going to eat. Their barometer, they've got a swim bait. It's telling them that, you know what, it's time to eat because we've got, effectively, they see it a low pressure as we got bad weather coming.
Boom.
You know, so that's why they're going to eat. So all fish will eat on the east. But where it becomes difficult to catch animals, if you've got easties blowing with 500 miles an hour, you know, and a big sea, and it's hard to fish those reefs.
Sure.
You know, so, but if you are, they will eat them in easily, absolutely. Will they eat in the southwestly? Absolutely.
Again, they're going on to the southwesterly. Tell us what we can expect with the southwesterly. So what is the southwesterly going to do with the water conditions and the species that we're going to catch?
Well, the southwesterly does exactly what competitive anglers don't want and that is that ultimately what it does is it warms the water up and then cleans the water. So we battle to get color in our water in the first place.
Yeah.
So if we get a bit of color, that southwesterly will take that color away. So what happens is, you know, that days when your weekend angler will wake up and say, oh, what a beautiful day. You know, the sun is shining, it's up rock, blue sky, let's go fishing.
Oh.
That is the worst day of the world to fish because that is a day where the southeasterly will be blowing. It would have just started to blow. It might be a light southwesterly. It's spinning to a southeasterly.
Yeah.
Just knowing that that's, if you've got sunshine, bright blue skies.
Yeah, it's
just bad fishing.
Yeah.
And if you just, even weekend anglers, they all tell you, yeah, I've been fishing on these beautiful days. I've never caught anything. I go fishing and it's raining. It's not so clever. And they catch fish.
Right.
It's because the fish don't care where it is outside. Yeah, it's about what that barometer is doing. That, you know, and effectively what the sea condition.
Oh,
now that, so what happens? Think about it. When you've got those bright blue skies, you've got a flat sea, because that's another thing the southwest does.
Flat sea.
Yes, the patch. So it flattens the sea, it takes any color away, and it makes it more. All the things that the fish that we throw didn't want.
Well, if you're going out to enjoy the day at the beach, that's perfect. But if you're taking a rod,
terrific.
Yeah.
And your best bet there would be to go fish for reef fish and throw one on his head. No, bait on his head. He lives.
Yes.
So he watches the start come past his head and he reacts for it. But you get a bat.
Okay.
Those are we call bluebird sky bass. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
Even for bass fishing.
So then what is that saying where some guys say West is best?
Why? First day.
Ah.
First day.
Okay. So that is what we were looking for. First day of the West.
First day West can be done. Can be done. Especially if you don't have like a... No. So what happens is again, we I'd have absolutely at some of the best days of my life is that I've been fishing. I'm literally fishing. The Northeast is black. One time I was up at Jagera and the Northeast was playing and we were getting by. You know, we knew a west was coming. We actually could see the clouds, actually. If you learn to read the clouds, you'll know that west is actually close. It's coming. And at the end of the day, the west came through. It came through hot. Came through probably 30 knots. And it was back in the day when we were driving on the beach. We actually ran it was one piece rods, other rods on the van, on the roof.
Yeah.
And we were about to leave it. That would just dropped off. But it was still blowing southwest. The west had come through with a big hub, you know, for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, maybe.
Yeah.
And then it backed off to like 10 knots. They thought, what the hell they got anyway? We went in through, three of us, all tight, 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 all dry.
Wow.
You know, so that is when the west is, it can change the game for you. That whole morning, so that first 6 hours of that west, that's where we're at.
Right.
You know, so the result is that first day of a west is better than the first day of an east.
Well, that's perfect to way to explain the what used to be the southwesterly. Would there be any other winds we would get excited about or pay so much attention to?
If there's one wind that can change the game,
okay,
and that's that northwesterly. So it will
a northwesterly.
Northwesterly. All right. Northwesterly, which is also known as offshore, it's also known as a berm wind.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the winter, when you get a berm wind, which is an offshore northwest.
What's going on there? How is that? Start that by from cause.
Okay, it's caused by the water temperature versus the land temperature.
Right.
Okay. So what happens is the water temperature is still warmer than what the land temperatures have grown. So if you look up in the berg area now, that's why it's called a berg wind.
Yeah,
it's much colder. The ground is much colder than what the sea is. The sea can be 20 degrees, 21 degrees. The land can be 16 degrees, 15 degrees. And that causes effectively like a pressure system. So it blows from the cold to the hot. The hot almost pulls it where it did. That's where a berm wind is.
So
now all of a sudden you could be at Walvis.
Yeah.
And you get this massive berm wind blow.
Yeah.
Suddenly you've got hot temperatures, you know, in the middle of winter.
Mm.
Okay. Suddenly those fish think, well, what the hell's happening? Yeah. And we've caught sandies knock hard in August.
Well, okay.
This
is on that boat.
That northwesterly wind.
All right. Yeah.
And that northwesterly wind doesn't just, when that happens, it's, because remember you, in the winter, you're going to get offshores every morning.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening. You're having that situation where you've got very cool land, warmer water, and that causes an offshore wind. As soon as your predominant wind stops black, that backs off.
It's offshore, okay.
And when you get that berg wind in winter, it's like you're getting a day or two of summer fishing in the middle of it.
Wow.
So that is a wind to watch out for. No fishing when you see that river. The rest of it is like, you see, it's all a variable of those, of your northeast and your south. So in other words, your northeast is 45 degrees.
Mm.
So if it's more towards the 90, that becomes an east northeast.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
So which is, we way prefer a proper northeast.
Mm.
Because again, you know, you get better upwelling on a northeast straight off us. Whereas if it has an east northeast, that's blue bottle time. You know, it's not necessarily what, it's not your rate you want it to move. And then if you go back the other way, you know, you go 45, and then obviously, you know, as you get to zero, that's straight north.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you get your northwest, which is the offshores up top of us. And then you get your straight west. Now, you very seldom get that straight west unless that west northwest, unless it's an offshore or a berg. So that doesn't play that much. If you keep going around, you get your southwest, which I think is 270 degrees.
Mm.
And then once it goes past 270, it becomes a southeast.
Damn.
So your southeasterly is effectively coming off your west, which is when your broad is the highest. So we don't like southeasters at all. Your straight east is not what we want either, because a straight east is just coming off a southeast, which is also not particularly good. But when it swings around, the playing the proper northeast, that's really awesome. That offshore in the morning, very good. But what we, as a fisherman, you want to know, northeast, cooling water down, giving it color, catch giant fish. south of the flows. First day, you could still carry on doing the same thing and catch lots of other stuff. And you also catch a lot of game fish will come and operate. You know, like if you're spooning and whatever, you'll catch your first day of a west. You'll also catch your jingies, keys, and snook and stuff like that if it's not calm.
For this winter, what sort of winds am I going to get excited about? Because, I mean, there's more of your edible species coming out. Like, I'm sorry about your shad and, like I said, the garrick, the kingfish. What sort of wind am I looking for there? Or surely I'm not looking for the northeasterly.
I think it's
I'm going for more cleaner water.
And you're going to also look to, you're going to probably fish more at night. Yeah, you're going to catch, unless you're fishing reefs.
Yeah.
Reefs can be as productive as light out fishing.
Yeah.
You're right. You're fishing more at reef. Because you're throwing at it.
You're right.
He's living. You're not trying to pull him to a bait.
Yeah.
You know, you still are, but the point is, that's where it is. No, it's kind of like, oh, no, it's like sales fishing. Oh.
Yeah.
But you basically want to fish at night. So your carp, very prominent diet knowledge.
Okay.
Or very prominent.
Okay. So before we round off, now, that was winds, right? We'll obviously, for the shores, we're going to talk about moon phases, which I'm sure goes in every tides. We're going to talk about the barometric pressure. These are all of the elements that are involved. Wind is, does that link up with any of them or does it link up with all of them? Do we take only two?
They actually all interlink. Because it effectively, I mean, you look at the wind is what for example, your barometer is going to go up and down based on the wind.
Yeah.
It's measuring pressure.
Hmm.
Now, what's happening is what causes wind is you've got wind that's moving from a high pressure to a low pressure or low pressure to a high pressure.
Yes.
And that's effectively, so that's what the barometer is picking up. So the result is the wind and the barometer is one of the same to a lot of ways because ultimately, for example, I can look at the barometer on my watch and see that barometer's dropping. I know that it's blowing northeast.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's not going to drop on anything else.
Right.
It'll drop on, when I say northeast, it could still be dropping on the east northeast, or even at a west northwest, it'll still be coming down. But if I look at, I see that it's blowing southwest, there's no way it's coming down, it's going up.
Yes.
You know, unless it's a real quick blow through and it's going to go back to the northeast.
Yeah.
So it's really intimate. You know?
Okay.
And your tides are obviously linked to the moon.
Yes.
Okay.
On this, yeah.
But again, what happens is that gravitational pull can cause a lot of current. You know, so if you've got wind added to that, again, it's interlinked. It's so interlinked.
Oh, that's the beauty of what we're trying to put together over here. So this is the one where we talked about winds. Guys, next week, we're gonna move on to various topics. So this is why you want to stay tuned to this shows, is because, like Dave is saying, we are going to be talking about, well, this week is winds. We're going to get into the barometric pressure. Then we're going to get into the moon phases. Then we're going to get into the tides. So make sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Make sure to follow us on whatever platform you are looking at us on. And make sure to rate us. Let us know exactly what you think of the show, what you think of the podcast. And more so, comment. Let us know your opinions on what we have been speaking about. Dave, this was absolutely fantastic. I mean, half an hour just on winds. I don't think we've ever touched on this before. I mean, you and I had our personal conversations on these. But apart from that, thank you so much for joining us.
That's it for this week on The Deep Dive. If you're after the latest catches and hotspots, don't miss the Angler News SA podcast. Until next time, let's fish for the future.